In the name of the creating, restoring, and transforming God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is good to be back at Church of the Redeemer in Baltimore. Things are a bit different than they were on January 6, 2021, when I drove up for Rebecca's ordination. Not so many people here that night. We were in the peak of COVID, and some other weird things were going on. We had a great celebration, but it is really, really good to be here and see you all in place. I'm really grateful to David for the invitation and to Rebecca for the connection. Now, last week, I was driving to a meeting at a church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and a colleague was in the car with me. We hadn't seen each other for a while, so we were happily chatting away, and we had that dandy GPS on the screen in front of us, but we didn't have the volume on. Well, not once, but twice, I completely drove past the turn that the GPS wanted me to take. My colleague said, you know, you can touch this icon here and get sound. Maybe you'd be a little less likely to miss the turn if you heard the directions. No, 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 I said, I don't want to have our conversation interrupted. Well, within minutes, I missed another turn. Thankfully, as is the way with GPS, not once, not twice, but three times it adjusted the route for me. No exclamation points, no flashing lights. It's as if it were saying, that's okay, let's try this way. Now, for those of you who drove with GPS in the early days of that technology, you may remember that in such circumstances, the techno voice used to say, route recalculation. Route recalculation, no judgment, just fact. I'm going to offer you another way to get there. Now, this is a bit like God, isn't it? Because God knows that you and I want to know and to go the way of God, right? We wouldn't be here if we didn't. We set out with every good intention, every Sunday, every Monday morning, every Lent. We want to know and to go the way of God. But then we get distracted, or we find a way that seems momentarily more enticing. Sometimes it is conversations with others. More likely, it is the lure of our culture. Some would call it temptation. Fancy, frivolous things like iPads, or worse, malice. Well, I don't know about worse. Malice, anger, cynicism. Sometimes it is the unresolved wounds of our childhood that get in the way, hurt feelings that linger. Maybe it's the prejudices that we were given in childhood, with clear definitions of who we are and who the other is. There's also the possibility that our distraction is one of the classics: sloth, envy, greed. All kinds of things can take us off route, causing us to miss a turn, to miss an opportunity to get on the way to God. Now, sometimes we realize it right away. Oh, I should have turned there, darn it. Other times it takes us a while to realize we've taken a turn we didn't mean to make, done something, frankly, that really wasn't very constructive. But at some point we notice, oh, wait, I was gonna be on time, but now the gadget is telling me I won't be getting there until 1:40. And it's telling me to get on the interstate. I must have done something along the way. Ugh. Route recalculation. It's kind of an update of the old directive, repent. But repent is full of connotations of judgment and anger and urgency. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Get your house in order now. Even Jesus' use of the word in today's gospel is a bit frightful. At that time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, Pilate had some Galileans killed and then stirred their blood into the animal blood of the sacrifices that were being offered. That is awful. Now, we're not sure why the folks were telling Jesus this, but he seems to perceive that what they're wondering is maybe those Galileans were maybe suffering because they hadn't been faithful enough or good enough. So he asks them, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, no, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will perish as they did. It's as though Jesus doesn't really care about the question of what happens if someone sins, or whether sin leads to punishment, or whether bad things only happen to bad people. Rather, what Jesus is concerned about is root recalculation. What Jesus is concerned about is that we keep persevering in finding our way to God. It is our repentance that God really wants. God wants us to turn our hearts, our minds, our souls, our thoughts to God and to God's loving, living, no, I mess it up every time. Michael Curry, ready? God's loving, liberating, life-giving way. God wants to recalculate our roots. That's the bottom line. And it turns out we're a lot more likely to find the way if we turn up the volume on the GPS. That's what we're doing here, for example. When we go to church, we remember the way of God revealed to us in Jesus. We can also turn on the volume by engaging with other tried and true practices, contemplative prayer, study of Scripture, engaging in service of others with others. Singing a hymn a day, maybe let Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, become your earworm. If this begins to sound like a Lenten discipline, then maybe it is. What are you doing this year for Lent? Why, I'm turning on the volume of my GPS, metaphorically speaking. Here's the thing, turning on the volume, and you may notice I'm really milking this metaphor. Stay with me. Here's the thing. Turning on the volume helps you to anticipate where God might be calling you, what God might be calling you to do or be. 2 miles, exit 4C. Turning on the volume helps you to prepare for what God has in mind. Get in the left lane now. And it helps you to respond to the call, to turn. Now, the first year of my priesthood, I served a church in Durham, North Carolina, and sometime in the season of Epiphany, I preached a sermon about God's love. Afterwards, one of the pillars of the church stopped me in the parking lot and said, "Love, love, love, when are you going to preach about sin and judgment?" "Wait till Lent," I said. "Well, here it is, it's Lent. So I'm going to say a thing about sin." Sin, simply put, is when we turn away from God and God's way and choose instead to do something other than love God, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what God calls us to. Love God, love neighbor, love ourselves. But see, God doesn't give up on us. That's the end of the Lenten sermon right there. Because God doesn't give up on us. Did you hear the parable? A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" But God is like the gardener, who replies, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it." In other words, cultivate it. "If it bears fruit next year," which I'm sure it will, "well and good. But if not, you can cut it down," which you won't have to. You see? It's a different metaphor, but it's the same message. When we flub, God is ready to love us back on track. When we sin, God offers us a root recalculation over and over and over again. God, who is love, bids us in the midst of every day to turn, to place our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, our souls in God's care, to walk in God's way. Route recalculation. Are you going to follow the GPS? Then for God's sake and your own, turn on the volume. Because then you'll be able to hear, you have arrived at your destination. Amen.